All right, here we go, John. There's been a lot of speculation about Antonio Brown going to Seattle once he gets cleared by the NFL, but there's another free agent wide receiver out there. Now the Baltimore Ravens intend to bring Dez Bryant into camp. If he will be signed to the practice squad where he will play his way into football shape. John, if you were the Ravens, would you sign Dez Bryant?
Yeah, they already have a deep guy. They already have Hollywood Brown to go deep. So they have their stretch the field guy. Dez, I would think, would be an interesting possession guy for them. And they're a very structured team. You know, they've got a good owner in Steve Bisciotti. They've got a good coach in John Harbaugh. If Dez went in there and screwed around, though, they would just cut him. So, yeah, I'd take a flyer on Dez Bryant. Why not? How about you?
Yeah, I would not. I wouldn't sign Antonio.
You don't want Antonio Brown. You don't want Dez Bryant. You don't want any of the diva wide receivers.
Look, he's 32 years old. He's attempting to become the second Pro Bowl wide receiver to miss two full seasons and then return to the NFL. In the last year he played, 2017, he had 800 yards and six touchdowns. So middle of the road wide receiver, even before he got hurt and before he missed this time. I'm not wasting my time with Dez Bryant.
Yeah, I bring him on. Come on down, Dez. And if you screw up, you're cut. But I'll give him a chance. Why not, is what I say. They're trying to keep up with the Steelers. All right, Mace. Kevin Draper of the New York Times did a deep dive today on what has happened to TV sports ratings. All four major sports leagues, including the NFL, are way down this year. Some people blame the fact that viewers watch by habit. They watch NBA and NHL in the winter and spring, baseball in the summer, football in the fall. Now all that's been rearranged by the pandemic. Other people claim that social justice issues have turned off some viewers. Depends who you talk to. But Draper brings up something that, to me, makes perfect sense as to why TV sports ratings are down across the board.
Okay.
Cable news ratings in October are up a whopping 79% compared to last year. We have a polarized political climate, maybe the most important election of our lifetimes, and a pandemic where news changes daily. Isn't it possible that all the people who normally watch sports, just for now, are watching CNN, MSNBC, and Fox News? Couldn't this be completely cable news related?
John, the only time I watch cable news is always. It is always on. It is playing in the background. And these games have been a relief. Like, for example, right now, the election, I don't think I need to tell anybody, the election and all this stuff is just it just feels like a total mess. And I just want it to be over as quickly as possible. So these games have been great. The World Series has been great for me. The NBA Finals were great for people. They were a source of escape from some of that stuff. But you're right, John. There are definitely eyeballs that would have been on sports that are now on cable news. I also do think the social justice issues did hurt, in particular the NBA. There are just some people that are completely unaccepting of athletes having political views. They think athletes should shut up and dribble, as the expression goes. So I do think there was some turnoff there. But I think cable news is a really good... The other thing, John, is, Lindsay, how did you watch the World Series last night?
I watched on the Fox Now app on my Roku.
So the Fox Now app.
That means like the regular ratings don't get credit for Lindsay or anybody
Correct.
Who watched like that. Yeah.
And I wonder how many people are doing the same thing, watching on an app or watching streaming or just settling for bites on Twitter or bites on, like, I don't know if you saw this, John, but, and I had the numbers before, but the NBA, despite the fact that the ratings were down, their social media numbers were through the roof.
Right.
The number of shares, the amount of clips, the YouTube visits, all that stuff was huge. I just think people are consuming sports in an increasingly different way, and it's not always going to add up to Nielsen numbers.
Yep, totally agree. It's to you.
All right. Last night at Rays Dodgers World Series Game 2, there was a spectacular catch made by a fan out in left center field. He had a glove. Now, the guy who caught it was probably, would you say he was in his 50s? I think he was in his 50s.
Yeah, and I think he was several cocktails in, would you not say?
Yes, because given the fact that he caught the ball and then threw the glove away. He basically
not the ball. He kept the ball and threw his glove.
Threw his glove, exactly. Now, how do you feel about a guy in his 50s bringing a glove to a baseball game?
Loser. Always have felt Always have felt that way. If you're a kid, if you're still attending school, you're completely allowed to bring your glove to a game. If you're an adult and you bring your glove and you're taking balls away from kids who brought their gloves, loser. Yeah. Jorge, am I right?
Absolutely, John.
I think you said it best. There is a cutoff age for bringing your glove to the game, and it's probably around 17.
At the risk of sticking my head in the lion's mouth here, too, can I also tell you indication of a loser?
Yep.
Somebody who gets a jersey with his own name on the back.
Oh, you don't like that, huh?
Loser. Yeah.
See, I think that's okay. I they've given me jerseys with my, like, they, the LAFC gave me one. The Kings gave me one.
Did you wear it?
Oh, yeah. I wore it to my.
I've been given those jerseys, and I immediately send them to my young cousins in Ireland who have, who have my last name. Yeah.
Well, that's a very good use of it.
Yeah.
No, I've got them somewhere. They're nice. I would never put a jersey myself, my name on jersey.
You know, by the way, you know who, and he's not a loser. He's a great guy. But you know who would totally do that, totally wear that?
Who?
Dave Singer.
Oh, yeah. Our old producer, Dave Singer. Dave would.
Dave would get a Singer. But there was a pitcher for the Dodgers in the 70s named Bill Singer. So he could just say that. It's an old Bill Singer jersey.
Bill Singer. Exactly. Exactly. Yeah. All right. It's to you.
Okay, Mace, I know this will come as a great shock, but Quibi, the short video app, is shutting down.
What?
After only 6 months.
I was just going to try it.
Despite billions of startup capital and heavy hitter founders like Jeffrey Katzenberg and Meg Whitman, Quibi was based on the vision that consumers would pay to watch short spurts of content while on the go. An idea that apparently failed to take hold in 2020 when most people were stuck at home because of the pandemic. Now, TikTok, YouTube, and Instagram all have successful short video components. Why didn't Quibi work?
Well, I think they're pushing against the tide. Like, what do we look for now in shows that we can binge? We look for, like, I like when I've got a whole season I can watch, a whole season of hour-long episodes that I can watch. Like, I think people have a bigger attention span for entertainment product than they have in the past because we're so used to binging TV shows. So I think that's part of it. The other part is, as you've pointed out many times, when they launched, they did not make the product available for streaming to your first.
No, you couldn't stream it at all. You couldn't.
Couldn't stream it. Couldn't throw it on your big screen.
Right. That to me was the kiss of death.
I think the biggest reason why it didn't work and why, you know, apps like Instagram and TikTok and YouTube are thriving, especially during the pandemic, is because Quibi wasn't shareable. What does everybody do? How does a clip go viral? Because you share it to all these people on social media. You share it on Twitter. You text it to your friends. You share it on Facebook. You couldn't share anything on Quibi. So
wait a minute.
I think
so if I saw something I liked on Quibi, I couldn't send it to you?
Nope.
Oh, that's 100%.
You have to download the app, and then you have to log into the app and all this other stuff. It's not something where you could just like share the link and you'd have to tell somebody, oh, you need to watch this on the app. There's no like shareable links to it.
I'll never forget.
Who is everybody's favorite show on Quibi?
Never watched one.
The only thing I watched was the Donald Sterling documentary. I watched 3 episodes, but I got frustrated when I could only.
Why did you stop at 3 out of curiosity?
I think there only were 3 at the time I watched it.
That Quibi shut down, they'll release it elsewhere.
But Mace, I wouldn't have watched a 4th, even if there is a 4th, because I got tired of watching it on my phone. You know, it was, I wanted to put it onto my big screen and it wouldn't let me screen mirror it. And I got frustrated and quit.
Yeah. Yeah. No, I totally get that. I just think sampled the product. I just didn't think it was especially good.
I thought they took some great swings at like heavy hitter actors and actresses and projects, But it just, it, like Lindsay said, if it wasn't anything you could do with your friends. It like she used a perfect word, shareable. And then even if we were, like, if we were all pre-pandemic, obviously, if we were all at somebody's house and, like, we wanted to put it on your big screen, we couldn't do it. We all have to sit around and watch it on three different phones. It was bad planning and bad.
Well, and I think the other thing was the pandemic did hurt it. I mean, it happened to launch at about the same time as the world shut down. And so any media attention that it might have gotten, it just didn't, because there wasn't room on the proverbial front page for it. So I think that was also a factor. But wow, really smart people, billions of dollars, great creators, filmmakers that did shows. And it's all gone.
Done after 6 months.
All right. It appears that someone at Fox doesn't like Joe Buck and Troy Aikman. Earlier this week, that video came up of Aikman and Buck sort of sarcastically mocking the pregame NFL flyovers, and it went viral on internet. People were upset. According to Sports Illustrated media reporter Jimmy Traina, the video was not a hot mic moment during the broadcast, but it was actually from a pregame rehearsal that was not aired on TV, which means a Fox Sports employee must have leaked it onto the internet and to the media. Now, if you were Fox, how hard would you look for this unnamed source? And what do you think of unnamed sources in general?
I would look vigorously for the person that leaked this, and I would fire them and announce their name to the public immediately so they could never get a job at another network. As somebody who spent 25 years in TV news, you rely on the trust of all your technical people. And there's I can't even imagine hundreds of tapes on all of it. Mace, think about the show we used to do on Fox Sports West. Oh. What do we always say? That if you could listen to us during the commercial breaks, that's when we like talk about everything. We talk about everything.
Ay.
And you're right.
And I talk about it using the F-bomb a lot.
Right. And Mason uses the F-word as a noun, a verb, a subject, an adjective, all of it. And if there was somebody who wanted to ruin us on our old show, one of the first things I said, Mace, do you remember this? When we got that TV show, I said to you, hey, listen, we're not going to be these guys, not that we ever would anyway, but we're not going to be these guys that don't treat the crew great. I go, these guys, our careers are in their hands.
Yeah, they're fantastic.
The best, and we had great, you know, Chip, our director, and Mark, our producer. Those guys are all really, they totally got like the tone of the show,
the bit,
and they were all in on it with us, and we were making fun of them 2 days into it, and they would make fun back at us, and you know, make us, you know, run funny bits on the screen, but they would never have leaked something to embarrass us or that potentially could get us suspended or fired, and they could have. And so to those people that did that to Joe Buck and Troy Aikman, you should be ashamed of yourselves. I know tons of people at Fox Sports. I got a lot of friends over there, and none of my friends would ever do that. That's a violation of trust that they just would never do. So yeah. I didn't know that, what you just told me.
I just read it this morning.
Yeah. So what happened to Tom Brenneman was he came back on the air and thought he was off the air and stepped in it. If that was a rehearsal, I remember when I was in TV news in a small market, when I was in Louisiana, my first job, we had a really hot anchor woman, and she was adjusting. Sometimes those girls have to run microphone cords up the inside of their dresses so you don't see the cord, so they can clip it to the top of their dress.
Mm-hmm.
And so one girl had to lift her dress up to do that and clipped it. And you know how you do cut-ins to the network? Like you say, coming up in 10 minutes on News at 10, blah, blah, blah. Somebody in the control room put that on the air, like punched her up live and put it on the air when she was lifting her dress up to do the microphone. And she lost it. And I've never forgotten that, that was a complete, you know, just scumbag thing to do.
Oh, okay. So it was a scumbag thing to do. They should find the guy and summarily fire him. and release his name publicly. He shouldn't be working anywhere else. It reminds me somehow I just love this story. So I'm watching NBC one morning during the Today Show, and you know how they always do that thing. That's the big picture of weather, and now let's see what's going on in your neck of the woods.
Right.
And one morning I was watching
the local weather anchor who's standing in front of the weather wall.
Yeah, and I don't want to give the name, but they did that. Here's what's going on in your neck of the woods. And there was nobody on screen. And then you could hear somebody say, "I am so sorry. I am in the bathroom."
That's great.
I love that. I love that.
Well, there's a very famous story about an anchor at a major network. This is someone I know and used to work with. And yep. I felt so bad for her. That one time she was in the bathroom and she was talking to a coworker of hers, and her coworker says, and somehow her mic got left open, and this is on a network, so it went to the whole country.
Yeah.
And her friend goes, "What are you doing this weekend?" And she goes, "Oh God, I got to go to my nightmare sister-in-law's house. I can't believe my brother married this woman. She's just a drama queen nightmare." And it went out over the air. And I thought, well, I don't think her brother's going to be put in a spot.
That's awesome.
He's either got to stop to his wife or stop talking to his sister. One of the two.
All right, coming up next for you, last night, of course, game two of the World Series, Dodgers lose at 6-4. It was a bullpen night for the Dodgers that did not go well. So a few questions. We haven't had a chance to take any calls today. So 877-710-ESPN, what did you think of the game last night? What do you think of the bullpen game? Did Dave Roberts do this thing right? Did he organize those relievers in the right way? What's wrong with Dustin May? Why are we short a starting pitcher? We're actually scheduled to have another bullpen game in game six. How did Andrew Friedman leave us this exposed going into the World Series? All that stuff is fair game. 877-710-ESPN. That's 877-710-ESPN. We will get some of your calls in here next. And then at 2:30, Matthew Berry will join us. The talented Mr. Roto, get some fantasy football news out there for you. Mason Ireland, 710-ESPN.
All right. Who needs a new TV? Get ready. You know about 4K technology, but have you heard of 8K? Check this out. Our man Isaac from Mir Audio Video in Westwood is back with the most incredible deals on the most incredible TVs. And today, we've got a deal on the brand new 2020 Samsung 75-inch QLED Real 8K resolution. This is the brand new Q800T series with direct full array picture. Quick refresh on how this works. Once I give the phone number, the first three people to call and buy get this TV for the lowest price on the planet. But after those three go, the deal is done. With your purchase, you get free delivery. All right, here we go. Got your phone and your credit card? Samsung 75-inch QLED 8K. Retails for $4,500 on Amazon and Best Buy. $4,500. Your price right now, first three to call, $3,300. $1,200 just chopped off the price right there. No, wait a minute. Wait a minute. I'm going lower. $4,500 is the retail. You can get it on Amazon for $3,300. First three to call in right now and buy, $2,785. How's that for a deal? $4,500 TV for $2,785. $2,785 and it's yours. Celebrate LA today. Watch the Dodgers on your new TV. Call now. 310-234-4010. 310-234-4010. Good luck from Mir Audio Video in Westwood.
10 seconds on the clock. How many things can you name that are always growing? Your relationships, your skills, your customer base. How about businesses on Shopify? Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage, Shopify's there to help you grow. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/network, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/network now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. Shopify.com/network.
Is there a vending machine in my future? John, it's located on the third floor in the laundry room.
And where are you?
I'm on the 10th floor. So I made the trip twice last night to the vending machine.
Yeah, you
machine.
Have no willpower. You're going to the third floor again tonight.
Talk about walk of shame. Walking the second time to the vending machine is a real walk of shame.
Yeah, why not just load up the first time you're down there?
Yeah, I only got two hands, man. I was eating a lot. You know, I get so emotional and so wrapped up. Somebody pointed out on Twitter that the longer the game went, the more erratic I got on Twitter last night. And it's true. At one point I said, let's all agree, bullpen games suck. Hashtag LA together.
All right. Let's go to the phones. Here's your chance to react to what you saw last night. 877-710-ESPN. 877-710-3776. Here's Victor in La Habra. Hey, Victor, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, what's up, fellas? How you doing?
Good, Victor.
Good, Victor.
I'm not too fond of the bullpen game, but another thing I'm not too fond of is we keep playing the shift too much. We put people in different positions. They don't know how to play that position, and they mess up the plays. Yesterday, we could have had a double play. Kike was in the right spot, but he bobbled the ball. I thought Seager didn't know how to throw the ball from that angle, and it just messed up the game. That's when they started scoring all those runs in that inning. And I just think we play the shift too much. We're playing the numbers too much. This game needs to be played off the field and not analytics. Didn't they watch Moneyball? What happened to Brad Pitt? He lost it all because it didn't work. So Dave Roberts got to get his head out of his butt and stick to what he knows and play with your heart. Stop playing with the numbers.
Okay, Victor, I will two things on what you said. Number one, they've played the shift all year. So one of the hardest things to do is to abandon the strategy that got you this far, because it gave them the best record in baseball. They got this far. Now, that's point number one. Point number two, Mace, I've said this before. I would eliminate the shift. I want more runs. I don't think the defense needs more advantages. I don't want the third baseman in the hole between first and second. I would limit, it would be the same for every team. I would limit how far the third baseman could go away from third base. And same thing with the shortstop, same thing. I would completely eliminate defensive shifts in baseball because I think it keeps the score down. I want the score up. What do you think?
You know, I'm not a fan of the shift, but in this world where the shift is used, I'm completely in favor of it. He's pointing out an example where it didn't work, and I don't recall the exact situation, but I'm going to trust him on it. But I'm telling you, if you look at those guys, look at their hats. They take their hats off, and they look at that little defensive guide. Last night, and this is a critical moment in the game. It was the eighth inning. The Dodgers had a runner on and Will Smith was at the plate. And Will Smith hit a bullet to right at the third baseman, who was slightly out of position. And I thought to myself, you know what? That was perfect defensive positioning. Had he been a step to his left or a step to his right, that was going to be a double. So I think there's an art to this. And by the way, it's not just numbers. So the Dodgers sent multiple scouts to all the games that Tampa Bay played in. So they have carefully figured out the way these guys, each one of them, approaches their at-bats, what their tendencies are, where the likely spot that the ball is going to be hit is going to be. I mean, there is a lot of scouting work that goes into figuring out exactly how to position players. And by the way, positioning the outfielders, positioning the infielders, in a world where there is a shift, I'm completely in favor of using it, and I think the Dodgers do it really, really well.
Here's Mario in Monterey Park. Hey, Mario, you're on 710 ESPN. Hi.
Hey, guys. Hey,
Summer.
The previous caller had it all wrong. Like I said, the only thing he got right was Kike mishandling the double play. That led
right
to two runs. So that was the game right there. But here's my issue with the Dodgers and the whole metrics thing. Okay, our young pitchers, they're prepared in terms of talent, but in terms of building their game, they're treated with kick gloves during the season. Just compare them to the Atlanta Braves pitching starters and their young guys, right? Yeah, the Braves let them struggle and prepare them for situations like in the postseason. We, for some reason, always treat these young guys with kid gloves, and they can, in some sort of pressure situation in the postseason, and they just wither. So that's my only beef with.
Okay, so wait a minute, though. Dustin May obviously pitched all season long for the team. He was a starting pitcher. He was in the rotation. Julio Urias spent time in the rotation. So did Tony Gonsolin. I mean, they were in the rotation at different points. I mean, the problems with Gonsolin and May is that they're just not very good right now. When I see balls screaming off the bat when Dustin May is on the mound, I know I don't want to see him in a game unless we're way ahead. I think he's lost for the postseason. He's had three really bad appearances in a row. So you think they kid gloved them, is what you said, instead of throwing them into the fire? Yes, that's what he said.
I don't want to see Dustin May, but it's not his fault. I mean, it's partly his fault, but I'm saying during the regular season, they have to allow them to struggle in those moments. Don't pull them. And that way they're able to handle those situations. That's all I'm saying.
Okay, got it.
I agree. Like I said, I totally agree with Roberts pulling these guys out with the early hook because they just look like deer in the headlights. So
yeah, no question.
Yeah.
All right. Thank you very much for the phone call. Appreciate that.
Thanks,
man.
Mario.
Yeah. I mean, I think just generally speaking, you know, if David Price was here, obviously, I hate that they didn't re-sign Rich Hill, who became an ace in Minnesota. Hyunjin Ryu, obviously an ace in Toronto. He was really expensive. Rich Hill was not. I think they overplayed their hand. They knew they had these three guys, Gonsolin, May, and Urias, and they're expecting too much from them. They're putting them in different spots in different games. They're not necessarily starting. Dustin May started during the year. Why is he coming in the fourth inning in the World Series? It doesn't necessarily make any sense. But I do think that Andrew Friedman, if this doesn't work, it'll be because we're short one starting pitcher.
Well, that's for sure. They are short a starting pitcher, and I still think the Dodgers are going to win it. I'm still clinging to Dodgers in five. I might have to go to six.
Cling.
But let's see how it goes. All right, coming up next, fill up the phones. Matthew Berry's going to join us. If you have fantasy, I got a good one. I got a good fantasy dilemma.
You've got a dilemma?
I do. And I will throw it at Matthew Berry next. 877-710-3776. If you want to ask Matthew Berry what to do about your fantasy team, also, you can tweet at us, Twitter at Venice Mace. Twitter at LA Ireland. If you have a question for Matthew Berry, just send it to us and we'll try to ask him. That's coming up next.
All right. That's coming up next for you, Matthew Berry, Mason in Ireland. I'm live from Arlington, Texas. This is 710 ESPN.
Hi, this is ESPN's Mike Greenberg, and ESPN Bet is ready to take you through all the biggest sports moments this spring. The official sports book of ESPN has exclusive offers and markets from Scott Van Pelt, Stephen A. Smith, and me. From the playoff intensity to finally getting out to the ballpark, there's no better time for sports fans. Sign up today, and new users get $100 in bonus bets for making any sports book bet. Download ESPN Bet today. What a play.
Must be 21 plus and present in select states. Gambling problem? Call 1-800-GAMBLER. Terms and conditions apply. See app for details.
And here he is, people. Mason and Ireland show. I'm live in Arlington, Texas. Last night at the Dodgers 6-4 loss to the Tampa Rays in Game 2 of the World Series. John's in L.A. and Matthew is back east right now. And Matthew, as always, we appreciate your time.
Of course. Happy to be here, guys.
Matthew, I have several questions for you this week. But first, I want to congratulate you on your long clinging to being a Laker fan. You were rewarded for sticking with us for those 6 years. Once again, all is right with the world. The Lakers are the world champions.
That is very true. Thank you very much. Congratulations to you guys as well, as you guys have been a long time, especially John, who bleeds more purple and gold than I do, I think. So
yeah,
it's very exciting, still basking in it, especially when you consider, you know, I lived in L.A. for 15 years where I was a season ticket holder, which is where my Laker fandom comes from. But I lived in Virginia until I was 12. So my first team that I rooted for ever was the Washington professional football team. And so it's been tough sledding around there. So it's been nice to have something positive in professional sports with the Lakers.
Okay, so this is going to be a question that affects both Mason and I. I was getting so little out of my quarterbacks, Matthew, that I did what I consider to be a panic move. My quarterbacks were Matt Ryan and Cam Newton. and there was about a three-week stretch where neither one of them did squat. In Newton's defense, he caught coronavirus and was out. But Matt Ryan went 11 straight quarters without throwing a touchdown pass. I cut him and picked up Justin Herbert, who was available. Is that a panic dumb move, or I'm starting Justin Herbert now for the foreseeable future? Good move or bad move by me?
Both. So the truth is, completely a panic move. Matt Ryan is a different quarterback with Julio Jones back. He's been a top 10 fantasy quarterback the 3 weeks that Julio's been there. He's been absolutely ridiculous. The defense is going to be awful as well. He's always going to be throwing.
Okay.
Having said that, so dumb move that you panicked when you did. Having said that, you were able to pick up Justin Herbert, who I think is all sorts of legit and should have a huge game against the Jags on Sunday. So actually, I think you did a dumb move, but you bailed out. You know what you did? You sat down at the blackjack table, you hit on 17, but you pulled a 4.
Oh, there you go. Yeah. I'll take it. Now, Mace is going to take advantage of my panic move. He's picking up Matt Ryan. Now, Mace, who are you? Are you going to play him?
I'm dropping Joe Burrow, picking up Matt Ryan.
Which I like. Listen, I'm a Joe Burrow believer, but certainly more consistency, more weapons expected from Matt Ryan. You know, so I think that's a good move.
Okay,
so I play, Matt Ryan or Ben Roethlisberger this week?
I'm playing Matt Ryan. I mean, Big Ben, it should be a good game for Big Ben. You know, he's at Tennessee. Texans just lit the Titans up. But for whatever reason, just Ben hasn't been a great fantasy quarterback. He's been fine. He's been fine. But again, Matt Ryan with Julio in the lineup he's been a top 10 quarterback for 3 weeks. He's been active. He's got one top 2 finish, I think one top 6 finish as well off the top of my head. Like, he's been, you know, he's been terrific. And again, that's a game that the over-under was 56.5. The Lions-Falcons game. Like, two good offenses, two bad defenses. Should be a lot of fireworks in Atlanta.
All right, here's a fantasy question, Matthew, that a lot of people are asking. If you have Clyde Edwards-Helaire, I do in our league, for example, do you continue to play him, or does the arrival of Le'Veon Bell tend to split carries and points between both of those guys? Now, how do you view the Chiefs running back situation?
So the answer to your question is yes and yes. You keep playing Clyde Edwards-Helaire? You do. Do you? Does Le'Veon Bell showing up cut into his workload? Yes. Like, in essence, what happened is he drafted CEH as a top 10 running back. He's no longer a top 10 running back. Like, you don't bring in Le'Veon Bell. And Le'Veon Bell, who had multiple suitors, Le'Veon Bell doesn't go to Kansas City if he's just going to sit there and hold a clipboard. Like, he's not going to do that, right? You know, if he's going to be on the sidelines. Because he could have, he had offers with Miami, he had offers with the Bills, he had a lot of offers. And he chose Kansas City for a few reasons, one of which was a chance to get a ring. And another thing is, I'm sure they promised him playing time. So Clyde Edwards-Helaire goes from a top 10 fantasy running back, I mean, he's running back 12 on the season with some bad touchdown luck, to, you know, more of a lower-end RB2. So more like in the running back, you know, 16 to 19 range is where he is. And for Le'Veon Bell, he's like a running back 25 to 30 range. So he's a flex play.
Yeah.
My expectation is, at least initially, CEH is still going to get a decent workload, get 15 to 17 touches a game, and Le'Veon Bell gets 8 to 12. But I will say that Le'Veon Bell, 8 to 12 touches in Andy Reid's offense playing next to Patrick Mahomes is better than 20 touches in an Adam Gase offense with the Jets.
Okay.
So fantasy value up for Le'Veon Bell, fantasy value down from CEH because he's not going to get as much touches, but still, the running back position is so decimated, it's going to be hard for you to find if somebody will give you full value, great, but otherwise I think you're better off just rolling them out there and, you know, hope you see more of what we saw last week.
Okay, let's go to the phones. Nick in Colton. Hey, Nick, what's your question for Matthew Berry?
I have a question. I had a trade proposal. Should I trade Chris Carson for Clyde Edwards-Helaire? And also, is it worth picking up Antonio Brown with the news today?
So I would not trade Chris Carson for Clyde Edwards-Helaire. I've been told that the H is silent, that it's that how it's pronounced is Clyde Edwards-Helaire.
Okay.
And I would not do that trade. I prefer Chris Carson, who gets, you know, all of the work on one of the best offenses in football. And so I prefer Carson to CEH. And, yeah, I wouldn't mind picking up Antonio Brown. Now, listen, he still doesn't have a team. he's still not eligible to return for the next 2 weeks, right? So the earliest he could play in a game is week 9. And that's assuming it gets, that's assuming he gets signed. That's assuming the NFL doesn't suspend him further because they're still investigating some of the other allegations. And it assumes he has a team, right? Having said all that, like, who on your waiver wire has more upside than Antonio Brown? Like, I mean, you know, no one. Like, the guy has top 5 fantasy wide receiver potential. Like, he still has that skill set in him. And if he goes to some of the teams that he's rumored to be, that are rumored to be interested, like, can you imagine him with Russell Wilson? Could you imagine him with Lamar Jackson in Baltimore? Like, could be pretty ridiculous. So, yes, if you have the bench space, I don't mind grabbing him and stashing him. I just, you know, be careful. You know, just if you need to win now and you need the roster space, you know, it's less ideal than if you're sitting there and you're whatever, you're 4-2, you're 5-1, and you can just throw them on your bench and hope you get something over the second half of the year.
All right, thanks for that. Jose in Hawthorne. Hey, Jose, you're on with Matthew Berry. What do you got?
Hey, 1 point PPR, Ingram or Fant?
Prefer Noah Fant. I mean, we keep waiting for Evan Ingram to do something, and he's playing tonight. I never liked Thursday night games. Listen, the Eagles are bad against tight ends, so it wouldn't surprise me if Evan Ingram goes off. But Ingram's had great matchups the last couple of weeks and still hasn't done anything. Like, just, it's so weird how they use Evan Ingram. So I just prefer Noah Fant.
All right, thanks, Jose.
Who practiced in full today. So, you know, that's certainly positive. And, you know, listen, they're playing the Chiefs, so you know they're going to be throwing.
Okay, let's get some on Twitter here. Justin Carlos Diaz wants to know, Russell Wilson or Justin Herbert?
Trade one of them, but Russell Wilson, come on. You can't – what are you going to do? You can't – you're not benching Russell Wilson.
Good point.
Standard League, CeeDee Lamb, Brandon Ayuk, or Leonard Fournette for the flex?
CeeDee Lamb against Washington. Andy Dalton will be better than he showed on Monday night. He will be.
Eddie Carrillo, flex PPR, Darius Slayton, Deebo Samuel, Keelan Cole.
Wow. Keelan Cole is interesting because, I mean, he's actually the leading receiver of Jacksonville, and they throw a ton. But I'm going to go with Deebo Samuel. My expectation here is that Bill Belichick tries to take George Kittle out of that game. And so Deebo, who they manufacture touches for in a big way, give me Deebo.
Okay, two more. Cooper Kupp or Henry Ruggs? Efren A wants to know.
I'm still going to go with Cooper Kupp. I don't love the matchup, but I'm going to go with Cooper Kupp.
And last one, this is Sean O'Rourke. Stafford or Ryan to start this week at quarterback?
Oh, man. I'll say Stafford, but it's super close. They're both going to have good games. I have both guys inside my top 10.
All right, Matthew, we always like you to promote something you got going on. What do you want to promote?
Only three things. The FCC says you can only promote three things, Matthew.
Well, as always, hey, listen, if you listen to this, you like listen to the radio, listen to our podcast. It's available wherever podcasts are. Do it Monday through Friday, The Fantasy Focus, and do it every single day. So check out the podcast. I got a love-hate column up on ESPN.com that I think is pretty good.
It's great.
This week about,
it's great. Advice. And it's about what you should do when you're trying to get a job. It's really good.
And then, of course, the Fantasy Life app. Got to promote the Fantasy Life app, which is 100% free. Everyone that has the Fantasy Life app, they all have Antonio Brown in their leagues because we got that alert out quicker than anyone else, 5-10 minutes ahead of everyone else. So it's 100% free. Go to fantasylifeapp.com or wherever you get your apps.
Matthew, thank all you right. for doing this, man.
Thanks, Matthew.
Appreciate you guys.
See ya.
Okay, thanks, man. Matthew Berry there, talented Mr. Roto. Always good to get him on the show. Coming up next for you is we are in the waiting period for Game 3, an off day now in the World Series as the Dodgers and Rays are tied at one apiece after the Dodgers lost to the Rays last night. Brandon Lau, who was batting 107 in the postseason, hit two opposite field home runs in that game, keying that win for Tampa. Tomorrow night, it is Charlie Morton versus Walker Buehler in what should be a great one here in Arlington. Coming up next for you is Radio Tinder, Mason in Ireland, 710 ESPN.
Picture this. You arrive at your hotel. You have an important online meeting lined up with clients from all across the country. You have your laptop open, ready to begin, and The Wi-Fi is so terrible, you can't even connect. These types of stressful situations happen all the time, but they don't have to. When you book a room at La Quinta by Wyndham, you have access to their free high-speed Wi-Fi, so you can take care of those critical emails, join your meetings on time, and even unwind by streaming your favorite shows without having to worry. Tonight, La Quinta. Tomorrow, you shine. Book direct at LQ.com.
All right, here we go. We'll get back to the World Series at the top of the hour. 3:15, Buster Olney is going to join us. We still have Game of Games at 3:45. I'm in Arlington, Texas, where I was at last night's World Series game. Dodgers lose at 6-4. Lindsay has got some radio Tinder stuff for us. Lindsay, what do you got?
All right, guys. Phil Mickelson is almost ready for the Masters, which was rescheduled from April to November this year due to COVID. And while Lefty usually preps for the Masters by playing in a tournament the week before, he's considering bailing on the Houston Open next week because fans will be there. He said, quote, "I think that they will do a very good, safe job in having 2,000 people at the Houston Open. But for me personally, I don't like the risk of having that happen the week before the Masters. So it's made me question whether or not I'll play there," end quote. Considering golf is kind of a naturally socially distanced sport, do you think Mickelson is being overly cautious in this case? Swipe left or swipe right?
Do I think he's being overly cautious? I'll swipe left. I think he's being smart. I think that if there's going to be a bunch of people around, yeah, he's not going to be standing right next to him, but he's got to walk through him to get to the locker room, to get to his car. Texas, as we know by watching Cowboy games and other things, is not exactly, shall we say, virus conscious.
I mean, right.
They're kind of doing their own thing. Mace, you're down there now in Texas.
Yeah, I'd say it's 50-50 on masks.
Yeah, I think Phil Mickelson's being smart.
Me too. The big tournament is the Masters. That's the one you want to be ready for. The worst thing in the world would be to pick up COVID, a positive COVID test coming out of Houston. So I think he's being smart. I think we all have our own thresholds of risk that we deal with. And he's obviously doesn't want to cross that one. So I swipe left. I think he's doing the right thing.
All right. Researchers at safety.com have determined that the average American is caught on security cameras roughly 230 times each week. Wow. They found this happens 14 times around your neighborhood, 160 times while you're driving on the road, 40 times at work, and 24 times while you're out shopping. So you might want to think twice about doing anything too embarrassing while you're outside the walls of your own home. Have any of you guys ever been caught or caught someone else doing something embarrassing on camera? Swipe left or swipe right?
I'll swipe right. I have a friend who works for the Lakers who was once caught on video putting makeup on in a very delicate way. I don't want to say
that.
I don't want to say who that was.
If you Google John Ireland Lakers, that's one of the first things that comes up.
It's so awesome.
And by the way, that went totally viral. I was the number one on ESPN's not top 10. You know that they do on Fridays? Jay Leno did it on the Tonight Show. It completely went viral.
That was a classic moment. Yeah. So I'll say that.
Yeah. I just assume I'm always on camera in some way, shape, or form. Although, Mace, I don't know if you've done this. I have a piece of black electrical tape over the camera on my laptop because I saw Mark Zuckerberg do it. And he said that because of, and Lindsay's talked about this before, because you're always being watched, they can activate your camera without you knowing that it's on. So I'm just paranoid. So I put a piece of tape over my camera on my laptop.
I think it's a smart thing to do. I have also done it after reading an awful lot about this issue, and Lindsay sort of helped to edumacate me. There is definitely people spying on us, turning our computer cameras on, turning our phone cameras on. And if you do the new download, if you look at your iPhone, if you've got the new iPhone, and turn it over, there are three lenses. Do you have the new iPhone, John?
No, you have the iPhone 12 already?
No, I've got the 11. I've got the 11. Okay. It's got three lenses there,
yeah,
right?
Lisa just bought the 12. My wife just bought the 12.
There's
she
a fourth
have it yet.
There's a fourth button there. It will light up as orange if the phone is turned on and listening to you.
Wow.
So that's one way to know if you're being spied on is look for the orange light on the back of your iPhone. But yeah, no, I look, I've done stupid stuff on camera. I mean, I jumped over that bar, shattered my foot. I mean, I've done so many stupid things on camera. It's unbelievable. There's video of me getting thrown from a bull. I mean, I've done every stupid thing you can possibly do. And thankfully, it was all captured on video.
I was going to say, and they were all on purpose for the most part, right?
Yeah, they were all on purpose. Yes, they were.
Exactly. All right, last one really quick here. So we're 2 weeks away from an election that has fueled more bitter divisions than America's seen in decades. It feels harder than ever.
I had not noticed.
Yeah, I know. It feels harder than ever to interact with people who have vastly different views. And as much as we might want to avoid these folks, it's not always possible, especially if they're friends or family. Is there someone in your life that you kind of want to excommunicate over politics right now? Swipe left or swipe right?
I try never to do that. I'm pretty good with letting people that are politically opposite of me have their say.
Totally get that. But is there anyone who's like over the top to the point where you just need to avoid them for now?
Okay, one of my best golf friends, a guy I golf with every week, who is a great guy, told me the other day that if he was in a restaurant and someone from the current administration happened to be dining in the restaurant, he could not live with himself unless he publicly walked up to him and told him to F off.
Wow.
And I said, well, you realize that that's completely inappropriate. They're just minding their own business, having dinner at a restaurant, and they're not bothering you. He goes, don't care. They've ruined the country. Can't live with myself if I don't do it. And so I've often thought, what if I'm out with him and situation comes up? I'd be horrified, but he says he's going to do it, and I believe him.
I've excommunicated.
I'm still really good friends with him.
Yeah. First of all, I try not to talk politics with people that I don't know, because you just don't know how somebody feels. Now, family, it's different. I have actually cut off the entire Mashansky side of the family. I have cut them off.
Politically,
they are all
completely.
Period. They are so aggressive. They are unbelievably aggressive on Facebook, which is the main way I stay in touch with them.
On the opposite side of the aisle is you?
Yeah, on the opposite side of the aisle. But more extreme. Like I try to keep it on the down low. They are just like
it. Yeah.
Now, my brother, Travis, I can tell you, is a huge supporter of the Democrats. And what Travis has been doing is he's been fighting with people on Facebook. He's been arguing with people on Facebook. He's been screenshotting arguments he had on Facebook and texting them to me. So I also have to excommunicate him. I mean, he could be out phone banking or doing something productive. Instead, he's arguing like an idiot on Facebook. He's also a pain in the ass. So I'm eliminating my brother Travis and the entire Mashansky side of my family.
Yeah, I had to eliminate my aunt because she kept posting. She's like my second aunt. I don't know how that stuff works. But anyway, she kept posting stuff or commenting on stuff. You know, when people post articles on Facebook and they don't read the article, they just comment on the clickbaity headline. And so she's been doing that with all of these political things and not seeing like the forest through the trees. And she keeps doing the same thing. Like she just baits people and she gets in these ridiculous extreme arguments. And I was just like, yeah, blocking you. And then she texted me and asked why I blocked her. And I was like, I'm blocking you from text too. So I'm done at least until after the election.
So you even blocked her on text. Wow. Yeah, that's true excommunication right there. All right. Is that it?
Yes, that's it for today.
Okay, that's your radio Tinder for today. All right. So I'm in Arlington. I was at the first two games of the World Series at Globe Life Field. John, in fact, I got a picture taken last night with the statue of Nolan Ryan, which
no
is
kidding.
Out front. Yeah, yeah. I just tweeted it to you.
Oh, okay, good.
It's a cool statue of your favorite player in the history of baseball, Nolan Ryan. You know, last night was a really frustrating game. For me, it was frustrating. It was frustrating to see pitcher after pitcher come in and struggle. And at one point I did tweet, bullpen games suck. Can we all agree? And of course, everybody did. It didn't go our way last night. What did Dave Roberts do wrong? Did he do something wrong? Or was it the front office? What's wrong with Dustin May? It's another really good question. What's wrong with Dustin May? He got hit so hard in that game. There are so many angles to this thing. I want to hear from Dodger fans. 877-710-ESPN. That's 877-710-ESPN. We will take some calls coming up for you a little bit later on this hour. And Buster Olney is coming up for you, too. That's, in fact, coming up next. Time for some traffic. We're coming right back. Mason and Ireland, 710 ESPN.